We're holding on Mem Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots, about 15 lines from the bottom. Okay, we've been talking about the koifer that has to be paid, or the pasuk tells us that if a person's shor mu'ad kills somebody, then the owner, the shor, has to be put to death. Well, that was supposed to happen even when the animal was a tam. We talked about a couple of days ago how it could ever happen that it becomes a mu'ad, be that as it may. When the animal is a mu'ad, then not only does the animal have to be put to death, but also the owner himself, the pasuk says on him, v'gam ba'olav yumas, which the Gemara is going to soon darshan, something that we learn from that phrase. But in the simple sense, what it means is that the owner ought to be chayav misa b'dei shamayim at that point for being so careless, but the Torah allows him to commute it to a fine by paying koifer instead. So we've been talking about koifer over here, and in particular, we discussed before we had the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan. We had the different opinions whether we had the different opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba whether the if the shur didn't have kavana to kill, does the owner still have to pay koifer? So now, continuing on that topic of koifer, the Gemara says, "Ki osir Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan." When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rav Yochanan explained like this: the pasuk says, "Im koifer yushas olav," which literally means if a koifer is imposed on him. Now, the word "im" doesn't actually mean if over there. There are a few places in the Torah where it says the word "im," and it means more like when. Like you have im kesef talves ami, doesn't mean if you lend. You have a mitzvah to lend regardless. It means when you lend. So the same way over here. But the question is, why did it need to say im? It could have just said koifer. Matam lema im koifer. What are we learning from that extra word im? L'rabis koifer shalai b'kavonah ke koifer b'kavonah. That comes to teach us that the owner has to pay koifer when the animal was a mu'ad, whether the animal intended to kill or when it did not. So we learned before that Rabbi Yochanan had said that regardless the owner of the animal is chayiv to pay koifer. So now Rabbi Jimmy says that Rabbi Yochanan is getting this from the we didn't actually have Rabbi Yochanan's opinion before we learned that Rabbah had said that if the animal didn't intend to kill, you don't pay koifer. Rabbah had said the general rule only when the animal is to be given skila, then the owner would pay koifer. If the shor is not going to be given skila because it didn't have kavana, then there was no koifer, and he had learned that from a pasuk. So now instead, Rabbi Yochanan was saying that Rabbi Yochanan learns from a different pasuk, learns from this word im, that it means that no, regardless, koifer is paid. Amalei Abaya, Sabaya asked Rabbi Dimi, Elame Ata. By that logic, if you're going to tell me that from the word im, we learn something extra like that, Eved Nami, then you should say the same thing when the shor killed an Eved. You could argue this Torah also says im eved yigach asher, if the shur gores and kills an eved or an oma. So you could try to learn the same thing. Matam adlemi im eved l'rabis eved shalei b'kavana ke eved b'kavana. That you would learn from that the owner has to pay the 30 shkolim that it says in the pasuk there, whether the shur meant to kill the eved or not. And you're going to say, okay, so maybe takazo. Yes, the owner has to pay the 30 shloim regardless. Can't. We learned on Amar Aleph that Rish Lakish had said that if the shur kills the eved and didn't intend to kill him, then the owner is potter from paying the 30 shloim. So you see, we don't douse in the word im like that over there. So why should we douse in the word im when it comes to the koifer? So that's a biased question. Amalei, so Vimi says, what kind of question is that? Gavra, gavra, karamis. You're asking a stira from one person on another. Rabbi Yochanan holds one way. Rish Lakish holds another way. Fine, Rish Lakish holds, you don't douse in that way. What's your question? Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to agree with Rish Lakish. Now, what was Abaya thinking to even ask the question? So the Ra'ah says, brings a brought in Shittim Kobetzes, that Abaya figured, listen, most of the Torah Rish Lakish learned, he learned from Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore we would probably assume that it is, we would probably assume that he learned this from him as well. But nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan tells him the fact is it's not so. We do have many machloikas in of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, so this is another one of them. He also Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, as a matter of fact, yes, Rabbi Yochanan does douch in that way. He does clearly disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, with Rish Lakish. He says, could have said Eved, Matam Adlamir Im Eved. L'rabbis eved shalei b'kavona k'eved b'kavona. That yes, it means that the owner is chayiv to pay kofer whether the shor meant to kill the eved or not. So yes, he disagrees with Rish Lakish. So sort of Dimi had said, look, Abaya, how can you point out a contradiction between one or the other of them? Now, when Rovin came, then we see he says, in fact, they do in fact argue on that point. Okay, well, the question is, Rish Lakish nami name amid eved im eved ledorish koifer im koifer nam ledorish. Well, then, so Rabbi Yochanan then is being consistent. He's dashing both ims in the same way to say that we're including shaloi b'kavana. But Rish Lakish, then it seems he's being inconsistent. Why does he daushin it in the case of koifer and say that if the shor didn't mean to kill, then you potter from koifer? And why by eved does he not daushin that and say that by the eved he's chayiv in the 30 sloim regardless? So Amri, they answered, the Bnei Yeshiva answered, Loi, no, there's no reason to assume that one of those necessarily depends on the other. Now, the Gemara is not necessarily saying that Rish Lakish doesn't hold that Tosfos actually points out a couple of blocks earlier that yes, from all Gemara, even though the Gemara doesn't say it in so many words, it is clear that yes, Rish Lakish does not daushin the im when it comes to Eved. But he does daushin eved im eved lo darish koifer im koifer darish. Yes, as a matter of fact, he doesn't daushin when it comes to the eved, but he does daushin it when it comes to the koifer. Therefore, he says by the eved, only if the shur intended to kill the eved, only then would the owner be chayiv in koifer. On the other hand, only if it intended to kill the eved. Then he would pay the 30 sloyim, but otherwise not. On the other hand, he's not dashing that as far as koifer. He says the owner would be required to pay koifer either way. What's the difference? So maishna, eved, im eved, like siv b'mokam tashlumin. Where does it say the word im eved? In connection with the goring. Im eved, yigach hasher, oy oma, if the shur gores an eved or an oma. So it doesn't yet talk about what happens as far as the tashlumin. In fact, it doesn't talk about Teshlumen in that pasuk at all. All it mentions, it does later on. It says Kesef Shloshim Shkolim Yitin, but it doesn't say that in connection with the word Im. Koifer, Im Koifer, Ksiv Makom Teshlumen. On the other hand, where does it say Im Koifer? Right there, when it's talking about the Koifer, which is the actual payment. Im Koifer, Yushas Olav. Therefore, the Shlokish figures that by the Koifer, there's more reason to daushin that the Im is saying there's another case where the Koifer is paid, namely even where the Shor didn't have Kavana. Whereas by the Eved, since you only have im Eved yigach hasher, if the shur gores the Eved, only there does it say the word im, then Rish Lakish has less reason to say that im should be used to daushin, that there's a difference whether he had kavana, that's the same thing whether he had kavana or not, and therefore he says, in fact, it would only be if it had kavana. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of that distinction, so therefore he holds that either way, the owner is chayiv in the koifer or in the 30 shkolim. We said in the Mishnah, Chen bebein oy bebas. We said the same dinim apply if the shur gores a boy or a girl below bar or bas mitzvah. We said the same way as the shur is chayiv skila even when it's a tam, and then if it's a muad, not only is it chayiv skila, but also the owner has to pay koifer. The same thing applies if it gored a boy or a girl. So let's talk about that. Tonan abanan. When the pasuk says if the shur gores a boy or a girl, that means v'chayev alak tanim kigdolim. That comes to teach us that the shur is chayev skila, and that the shur is chayev skila whether the victim was a child or an adult. Now the question is, why do we need the pasuk to tell us that? V'haloi dinu. Wouldn't we be able to learn that by a din? Namely in this case a mamotzinu. We would say like this, we know that a person who kills another person is chayiv misa. We also know that a shur that kills a person is chayiv misa. Well, then we should make a mamatzinu between them. Now, when it comes to a person killing another person, there's no difference between ktanim and gdolim. If a person kills an adult or a child, either way, they're chayiv misa. The same way when you're saying that a shur is chayiv misa for killing a person, there's no difference between an adult or a child. So why does the pasuk need to stress and say that the same din applies, that the shur is given skila, when we would understand that on the basis of that mamotzinu? V'oid, and not only that, even if you're going to argue that that mamotzinu is not so valid, still you can say kavachomer. Furthermore, you can make a kavachomer. Uma odim ba'odim shall also be tanim to dolim. Madoch, when it comes to a person killing another person, when it comes to the victim, we say there's no difference between whether it's a child or an adult. But when it comes to the killer, there's a big difference. Shaloy also be tanim to dolim. There is a big difference that the Torah does not treat a child who kills the same as an adult who kills. A child is not chayav misa. And yet, on the other hand, when it comes to the victim, whether the victim was a child or an adult, either way, the adult is going to be chayav misa for killing him. So then, when it comes to a shur killing a person, where it doesn't matter whether the shur was a baby or whether it was an adult, Rashi points out, based on a Gemara later in our Masechta, that the word shur, now we usually think of the word shur as meaning a bull or an ox, which usually suggests a full-grown animal, but the fact is, we find in the Pasuk where it says shur echesev eiz ki yivoled, where it says when a shur is born, and we learn from that, the Gemara points out later on in the Perek, that we learn from that even a newborn animal is already called a shur. Therefore, in our psukim in Parashas Mishpatim, when it's talking about a shur killing somebody, then it means whether the shur is a baby or an adult. So then, in that case, so shur ba'odim sh'osavik tanim kudolim. So there, when a shur, it doesn't matter whether the killer is a baby shur or an adult. Either way, it's chayiv misa. Ain't a dinja chayiv al kudolim k'tanim. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that it's that he's chayiv just as much if he kills a child as if he kills an adult? So between that mamotzinu and that kavachomer, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that if the shur kills a child, then the shur is chayav misa? Either way, we should say based on this mamotzinu or based on this kavachomer, we should say there's reason enough to say that the shur is going to be killed without the pasuk telling us explicitly. Tosfos Arosh points out now there is the point the Gemara, you could think that if a child is potter when he kills maybe he'd also be potter maybe also another person would be potter when he kills him. How can you make somebody liable for killing somebody when that somebody himself would be potter? But nevertheless, that's not how it goes. Anyway, so the question is then, so why do we need a pasuk to tell us that the shur is chayiv misa when it kills a child? And the answer is loy. The answer is no. You can't learn by that. You can't learn by either that mamotzinu or that kavachomer, because imamarta odom ba'odom. You know what? You know why a person is chayiv when they kill a person, even for a child? You have a chumrah over there. Shekin chayiv ba'arba dvarim. Because a person, not only is he chayiv if he causes damage to another person, not only so if he's killed, then he's chayiv misa, but besides that, also, if he injures him, then he's chayiv in the other abad varim, besides for nezek, you have tsar, ripui, etc. Whereas we've learned before, only a person is chayiv for doing those. If a shur does those, the owner of the shur is not chayiv. So how do you compare that to a shur, which is not chayiv in those four things? In other words, maybe you would say, since the Torah is being makel when it comes to a shur, that if it injures a person, the owner is not paying the dalad dvarim, he's only paying nezek. Maybe by the same token, the Torah is being makel by a shur that only if it kills an adult is it chayiv misa, and not if it kills a child. So therefore, we could conceivably say that, and that then the kavachomer or the mamatzinu we said before wouldn't work. Therefore, Talmud Loimer, Iven Yigach, Ivas Yigach. Therefore, the pasuk has to tell us whether the shur gores a boy or a girl, l'chayim alaktanim kegolim, to tell us that it means that he is in fact chayiv misa whether it's a child or whether it's an adult. And Bain and Bas necessarily over here, Rashi points out, has to mean children, because the earlier pasuk already says vehemis isha isha, so there it already says man or woman, so therefore Bain or Bas. In other words, Rashi's point is sometimes the word Bain or Bas can more generically mean males or females, but here where it already previously says isha isha, then it's clear that Bain has to mean a boy and Bas has to mean a girl. So that's why the pasuk needs to tell us, because otherwise we would have thought to shlog up the kavachomer or the mamatzinu based on that point about the abad varim. Now continues the braisa, the ainli elabamu odin. Now so far we would only know that applies when the animal is a muad. Because how does the pasuk, the flow of the psukim is, at first it talks about when the shur kills a person, and it says it gets skilla. Then it talks about if the shur is muad, v'im shur nagahu. Then it mentions the whole point about the shur needs to get skilla, and the owner needs to pay koifer. Then it continues, oven yigach, evas yigach. So now, when is it first introducing this concept of Aben or Bas is only after it introduced the Muad. So maybe we would think that this whole concept that the Shur gets Skila for killing a child, maybe that applies only to a Muad. The Tam Minayin, how do we know that it applies equally well to a Tam? If the animal is a Tam, then also it's Chayiv Misa. Now it is true. Usually we have the rule that whatever a muad is chayev and a tam is also chayev in, but still, Rabbeinu Peretz points out that still here, since the Torah specifically mentions this only by muad, then maybe we would think it only is meant to apply to muad. How do we know? So again, let's start by figuring it out logically. Dinhu, that we can learn by a mamatzinu. Since we find already the Torah says that a tam is chayev when it kills a man or a woman, and it's also chayev, as we established so far, with a muad when it comes to a boy or a girl. So now you can figure like this, when the shur kills a man or a woman, an adult, then we said there's no difference between whether the animal was a tam or a muad, because the Torah mentions that the shur is chayiv misa if it was a tam, and it also mentions that that's chayiv misa if it's a muad. So therefore, we can learn by a mamatzinu af shachir beben ubas. So then, when the Torah is being mechayiv the animal skila when it comes to a boy or a girl, also like tachlak beben tam lemuad, then also we can learn by this mamatzinu, by this binyanav, that there shouldn't be a difference whether the animal is tam or muad. It's true, it says it only by muad, but nevertheless, the fact is that since by adults we find there's no distinction, then we have good reason to assume that there's no distinction when it comes to children either between tam and muad. And furthermore, again, even if you don't like the mamatzinu, you can also make a kal v'chomer. Ma ish v'isha shekein hura koichem b'nizokin. When it comes to a man or a woman, where their power when it comes to nizokin is weaker, in the sense that if a man or a woman cause hezek, then they're chayev to pay. We're going to learn technically later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn that a woman, in principle, if she's a married woman, she may not have assets of her own to pay, but in principle, she is chayev to pay. If she has assets, then she'll pay from it, and if not, then it remains a choyv on her until she gets some. But in any case, an adult causes nezik, then they're chayev to pay. So in that sense, hura koichan, they have a weaker power in the sense that they're made to pay. And yet there's no distinction between if they were attacked by a tam or they were attacked by a muad, where either way they're going to be chayev to pay, or rather either way the animal is going to be chayev misa. Ben or bas should yoffer koichem minizokin. Well, then when it comes to a boy or a girl who has a stronger power, because they're potter from any nizokin they do. If a child commits a nezek, They're potter from paying. In principle, okay, it says in Shulchan Aruch, maybe they should pay for it when they get older, but they're not actually required to lahalacha. It's only lots of Yidei Shemayim. So that being the case, then they have a stronger power when it comes to Nizokin. Ein adin shalai tachlok behen ben tam lemuad. How much more so that there should be no distinction whether it was a tam or a muad that killed them. So based on that, kavachoyma would also be a reason to say that there shouldn't be a difference between tam and muad. And here's where the Rosh explains, following his comment before, it's one thing when you're talking about them killing versus them being killed, you might think to draw a distinction. If they're not chayev for killing, maybe they shouldn't be chayev, maybe a person shouldn't be chayev if he kills them. But here, we're talking about them doing nizokin versus them being killed, there's no reason for that svara. Well, actually, that's the Gemara is going to point that out now over here. That on the face of it, though, that means precisely for that reason we should argue that there is a distinction. So that's the Braisa says Amarta. So now you say, how can you learn with that mamatzinu, or from that kavachomer for that matter? How can you learn what you're saying over here? So Rashi explains that primarily the question of the Gemara is going to be on the Mamotzinu. Tosfos says that actually it might also be on the Kavachomer as well. Anyway, you have to consider like this, continues the Braisa. Do you ever, when you're doing a kal v'chomer, do you learn the kal from the chomer and say that the chomer of the chomer should apply to the kal? It doesn't work that way. A kal v'chomer is the other way around. You take something that you find by the kal, where you find the kal alone has a certain chumrah, and you apply it all the more so to something else that already has another chumrah over the kal. That's how a kal v'chomer works, not the other way around. Im hechmer b'mor da chomer, tachmer b'tama kal, you're going to say that we're machmer on a mord, but a mord itself is more stringent. How can we use the same chumrah for tam, which is by definition more lenient? And furthermore, now this whole line was in parenthesis, and the Maharam actually takes it out. He says that if we look at Rashi, he says if we look at how Rashi is analyzing the words of the Gemara over here, he evidently did not have that girsa of those words of this line that we just had in the Gemara. He evidently just doesn't have it. He's just said that according to him, the girsa would just be that how can you learn kal mechomer? Meaning, in other words, when it comes to the mamatzinu. What are you telling me that you're saying that you're going to learn a mamatzinu? You're going to say that the same way as by an adult, you have there's no difference between tam and mord. The same way you want to say what we're saying that by a child, a mord is chayav misa. You're going to say that also a tam. That's not how a kal v'chomer works. If it comes out, then you're learning tam. You're trying to be machmer on a tam based on what you have on mord. If it hadn't said by the mord the child at all, you wouldn't be able to learn it. You wouldn't be able to learn it from the man and the woman by them themselves by the adults themselves. You only have because the pasuk says it applies to tam and mord. So you can't learn that way. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi's second explanation, he says, is that the question of the Gemara, how can you learn kal from chomer, is because the children are not chayiv and mitzvahs, and the adults are, and in that sense, therefore, the adults are considered more chomer. Rashi doesn't like that explanation. After all, it's true that children have a kula as far as their potter from mitzvahs. On the other hand, we just said they have a chumra in that when they injure a person, then they're not chayiv to pay, unlike the adults. So what's your problem? Just because they're not chayiv in mitzvahs. So Rashi prefers the first explanation, that the question is, you're telling me we're going to learn something about a tam from what it says by mord, but you can't do that. The fact is a mord is more stringent. Furthermore, So that's Rashi's second explanation is that the Rashi's second explanation is the Gemara is only asking that the Braisa is only asking about the kal v'chomer is precisely the point that they're potter from mitzvahs. But Rashi says no. What the Braisa is doing is pointing out two things. Number one, a tam is always more lenient than a mord. And number two, you could argue, after all, since the children aren't chayiv in mitzvahs, maybe there should be less of a penalty if a shur killed them. So it's not one argument, it's two arguments. So now with that, then you wouldn't be able to learn by a mamatzinu or by a kal v'chomer to say that in fact the shur should be chayiv misa if it was a tam and kill the child. So therefore, tamud loyma, oy ven yigach, oy vas yigach. Therefore, the Torah repeats twice the word yigach if it gores a boy or if it gores a girl, which means we learn that no matter what, negicha b'tam, negicha b'mord, negicha l'misa, negicha l'nezakin. We learn that it applies across the board, that the animal is always going to be chayiv misa whether it was a tam or a mord, and it's always going to be whether it killed or whether it only injured. Either way, the owner is going to be chayiv. So ultimately, we need the Torah to be telling us that. Because otherwise, even though we would have thought to learn it by this kal v'chomer or by this mamatzinu, we would have schlugged it up on the basis of what we just said, the mamatzinu at least, because you can't learn from mord to tam, and the kal v'chomer because after all, adults are chayiv in mitzvahs and children are not, and that is why the Torah needs to spell out oyvein yigach oyvas yigach. Okay. Again, there, you know, there is the point that I mentioned the other day on a different level. Here, the Gemara is dealing with it on a halacha level. There's also a level of dealing with it. Also, looking at contemporary society, where you have society at that time had a concept, and you find that in ancient laws from that time, that if a person kills somebody else's child, then their child is put to death, and therefore the Torah is stressing that it's not like that. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing on this topic of a shur killing a person and the penalty for it, the Mishnah says, shur shoy mischakach bakoiso. If a shur was rubbing or scratching itself against a wall, the nafal ala adam, and the wall fell on a person and killed him. So now the shur didn't mean to kill the person. The shur was rubbing itself against the wall because it was itchy and it wanted to scratch itself. And as the Gemara is going to explain how we can see the difference. How we'll know whether the animal meant to knock down the wall and kill the person or not. So you have that case, or niskaven laharagas a behema vaharagas a adam. If the animal intended to kill another animal and instead of kill the person, laknani, or if it meant to kill a knani, which is really a change from the censor, it's really supposed to be la nochri, a goy, vaharag ben Israel, and kill the yid, lenefalim vaharag ben kayama, or it meant to kill a newborn baby that's within a nafal, a baby that's premature or possibly premature and may not survive, and instead it killed a ben kayama, a fully grown baby. Either way, the animal is potter, and what we're going to see in the Gemara, potter from what? We have to consider there's two different things over here. There's missa, and there's missa, the skill that the animal is given. There's also kofer. We're going to see in the Gemara which one we mean that the owner is potter from. When we say over here that the shur is potter, if it kills a goy, so in the Vilna Shasin, there's a marginal note which they added over there, Mistama, the censor has required them to add it, something along the lines of, as we talked about the other day, that since in Goyish law at that time, they weren't Machayev a person for his animal killing, therefore we can't be Machayev the person to have his ox be given skila because it killed a goy, which maybe would imply that if the laws are different, then it would be different. But again, I mean, that was added at the whim of the censor, is not necessarily is that really valid al pi halacha. Lamaisa, of course, we don't have skill anyhow nowadays because we don't have a based in smuchin. But in those times, at any rate, that's how it would have been. Whether in fact it's reciprocal like that or not. Okay, so the Gemara says Amar Shmuel. When we say that the animal, in this case, in all these cases, where it knocked down a wall accidentally and killed a person, or it meant to kill a goy and kill the yid, etc., Shmuel says in all those cases, what we mean is, we're talking about primarily where it killed shaloi b'kavana. So really, yeah. So it applies to all the cases. It applies to all the cases in the Mishnah, because in all the cases, it didn't mean to kill a person for whom it would be chayiv misa. Anyway, so Amar Shmuel, potter b'misa v'chayiv b'kofer. So Shmuel says, yes, it'll be potter from misa because it killed shaloi b'kavana, but the owner is still going to be chayiv in kofer, which means it actually says that therefore that means that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yochanan. We said before we learned before that Rabbi Yochanan learns from the word im kofer that you're chayiv in kofer regardless whether the animal killed b'kavana or not. So Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Yochanan on that and disagrees with Rish Lakish. On the other hand, Rav says he's potter from each one. He's potter from Misa and he's potter from Kofer, which would be more like Rabbah that we learned on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Although there is actually an explanation that Ravid brings that Rav might agree if the animal is a moor, then he is chayiv and kofer. But Rav says that our Mishnah is not talking about a moor; it's talking about a tam, and therefore he says it's potter from kofer because of course it's a tam, and there's no kofer by a tam. So the question is, v'amai hotamu. The question is, why would we say he's chayiv and kofer according to Shmuel? V'hotamu. Isn't the animal a tam? But pashtus, we're not going to assume that the animal has been doing this again and again. But pashtus, we assume that the animal just wanted to scratch itself. He didn't mean to knock down the wall. Or certainly didn't mean to knock it down on a person. In fact, Tosfos points out, after all, if it did mean to knock it on the person, then we would assume the animal surely should be chayiv misa. So it doesn't matter. Tosfos says, even if it did this many times, and each time there happened to be a person sitting on the other side of the wall, and it killed him, we still can't say it's more to kill a person. So why are we talking about, we're saying it's potter from misa. If it meant to actually knock it down on a person, it should be chayev misa. And if it didn't mean to, then it never becomes a mord for that. So how are we talking about koifer anyway? How is Shmuel saying that the animal is chayev? How are we saying that the owner of the animal is chayev and koifer? So the answer is kid omer rav. The same way as we have a case in the next parak, we're going to talk about a case. We're going to start talking about more extensively the dinim of bur. So you can have a case over there where an animal falls on top of a person who's inside a bur and kills him, and you have a case where the animal is considered mu'ad, and you have a statement over there that Rav says b'mu'ad kid omer rav b'mu'ad lifbal al b'nei adam b'boris. You have a case where an animal is mu'ad, that it's regularly doing that, it's regularly falling on people in pits and killing them. Hachanami, the same way over here, you can say b'shur, you can say b'mu'ad lishakav al b'nei adam b'ksalim. This is a shur that regularly does this, that regularly goes and scratches itself against walls and knocks them down on people. Meaning, in other words, that not like we thought before, that the animal can never become a mu'ad from that. The fact is, it is doing it lahana osay, it is doing it because it's itchy and it wants to scratch itself, but nevertheless, if it does that enough times, then it will become a mu'ad for that. You actually have, in that sugya, in the next parak, Rashi explains over there. Well, actually, that'll be let's learn the next couple of lines of the Gemara over here, and then we'll talk about what Rashi says over there. So the Gemara asks, "Yehochi baktolahu." Well, in that case, if the animal does that regularly, then it should be chayav misa, because now it's been doing that enough times. The owner now knows that the animal is dangerous and it's prone to do this kind of thing. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says it's one thing. In other words, the question is actually Rashi does explain later on Daf Mem Ches like this. You can have a case. Now we've discussed before. We discussed back on Daf Mem Aleph how an animal ever becomes mu'ad for people if the first time that it killed a person it was already supposed to be given skila. And we had a number of explanations. One of them being that the animal ran away each time it gored, and then before they had a chance to judge it and give it skila, it ran away. Now, when it comes to the animal falling into a burr, you can't say that because you have a number of things that we said over there. You can have where they don't recognize which particular shirt it is, where you had Adam Zimmerman. Here, when it comes to an animal falling into a burr on top of a person and killing him, none of those things can apply. So the shirt is going to be chayev skila. So how is the Mishnah saying that it's potter? Meaning, again, in other words, that in that case of the burr, it's chayev misa the first time it does that. The same way over here, it should be chayev misa the first time it did that. So actually, the Maharam explains that the question is though still somewhat different. There, the question is how it ever became a muad, because the first time it did this, the first time it jumped into the burr, then we should say it's chayev misa, and they can easily get it out of there and kill it. It can't possibly run away, etc. Here, the question is a little bit different. Here, the question is that once it's already fine, the first few times you could say maybe the animal ran away. Eventually, therefore, it was able to become a mu'ad. But now we're already the fourth time. Why is that? And we're saying the Mishnah is talking about that's a mu'ad. Why are we saying that the animal is potter from misa, according to both Rav and Shmuel? If it means to do this and it's already the fourth time that it's done this, then it should be chayev misa. So and the Gemara says, Bishlema Hossam. In fact, it's easier to understand over there when it comes to the pit, the Chazir Roik of a Nafal, because what happens, as the Gemara discusses over there, you can have a case that the animal saw some grass by the edge of the burr and it went to eat it, the Nafal, and accidentally then it fell in and killed the person who was inside the burr. So then you can say it fell in Shaloi B'Kavon. But elahocha, ma'ikal beimer. How are you going to say over here? The show did intend to. The show did intend to scratch itself and to. On the face of it, it means that the show actually intended to knock down the wall. And if it intended to knock down the wall, then once it happened more than three times, and the animals are moored, and it should be chayav misa already previously. So fine, even if you have it ran away each of the other times. But here, why is it not chayav misa when it does this already the fourth time? And the answer is hochanami because you're not talking about over here it meant to knock down the wall. The same way as over there, we're talking about it meant to eat the grass by the edge of the burr, and it accidentally fell in. The same way, it was scratching itself against the wall, not intending to knock it down. At each time it was just doing it for its hana. So now the animal was certainly potter from misa because it didn't intend to kill. So even you could have, for example, that so Rashi later on Daf Mem Ches explains that you could have that the first few times it did mean to knock down the wall but not to kill, therefore it's still potter from misa. Now the fourth time, that's enough to make it already moored to that extent. Now we can be talking about whether it's going to be chayev kofer, and now the fourth time when it knocked it down, it was shaloi b'kavana, and therefore it's not going to be chayev misa for killing the person. But we can still say it's more to knock down walls, and therefore we can talk about whether the owner is chayev and kofer or not. So yes, you could say it that way, and you could say that's what it's doing. It's scratching itself against the wall for its hana rather than because it intends to knock it down. So therefore, in effect, in other words, it's more like Shane or like Regal. Rashi points out later on that you have the same way as with the grass. It's eating. It wants to eat the grass, and then it slips and falls into the burr. So it's still part of Shane. The same way over here with the wool, it wants to scratch itself and enjoys it. That makes it a tool of Shane. And therefore, if it does that over and over again, eventually it will become moored, that it's prone to scratching itself against walls hard enough to knock them down. But nevertheless, it's not going to be chayiv misa because it didn't intend to kill anybody. So, okay. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos has some difficulty with that. Tosfos actually points out that when the animal lands in the burr, Tosfos learns that it actually doesn't mean that it saw grass by the edge of the burr and slipped in, but rather that it saw grass in the burr and decided to get it. So then, in that case, it knows if it goes into the burr, it's going to trample the person who's inside the burr and kill them. Similar to what we had before, back in the second parak, we had a case of rego. We had a case where a person's animal is walking around in a chotzer and steps on a baby and kills it. Where the animal can understand in its little animal brain that if it steps on something small like that, it's going to kill it. So the same way over here, the animal can understand on some level that it's going to kill the person inside the burr. So therefore, we can be talking about paying koifer. Therefore, Rav can say that he's chayiv to pay koifer, even though he didn't mean to kill. Therefore, he's not chayiv skila, but therefore, nevertheless, he's still going to be paying koifer according to Rav. Where over here, on the other hand, you could argue maybe the show didn't even know that it's going to knock down the wall. So therefore, there might be a difference. That would explain why Rav is saying over here that he's potter from kofer, whereas in the case of the burr in the next parak, Rav is going to say that he's chayiv in kofer. Because the difference is, there the show has some awareness that going into the burr is going to kill the person. Here it has no awareness at all that knocking down the wall is going to kill the person, because he didn't even necessarily know that there's a person on the other side of the wall. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so the Gemara says, so fine. So you have a case over here again where the shur did not intend to kill; it only intended to scratch itself. Therefore, you can't be mechayev at misa. But Rav will still say that you have that. So Rav will say over here it's potter from kofer. Shmuel will say nevertheless he's chayev and kofer because the fact is that he did kill. And as we said before, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if the animal kills shaloi b'kavana, you're still chayev and kofer. Okay, the Gemara says, well, how do we know whether the shur meant to scratch itself for its hana, which therefore would be shein? And the point is, if it intended to knock down the wall, then it would be a tolda of keren. then of course, then there is indeed a difference between Tam and Mord. But how do we know then that how do we know that we're talking about that here? We know it did it for its Hana, and therefore it's considered part of Shein. And the answer is the Bosso de Nuffel comes bay, because we see that even after the wall fell down, then the animal is still scratching itself against it. So we see that it wasn't doing, if in other words, if it was doing it out of anger, which would be Karen, which would be something Mishuna, something unusual, then we would say that what would happen as soon as it knocked down the wall, fine, that helped, that calmed it down, that now it got to do what it was setting out to accomplish, and it did it, and therefore it'll calm down, as opposed to if it still scratches itself after the wall fell down, then we know it's doing it for Hana also, and then it's part of shame. Okay. The Gemara asks, fine. The question still is, though, still, isn't this that it did? Wouldn't it be tsuroris? Now, we learned back in the second parak the whole concept of tsuroris, where the animal, for example, pebbles shoot out from under its feet and they break kalim, and we said it's chayiv only in chatzin nezek for that. And similarly, you have with other kinds of things as well. There can be tsuroris. So here it would be tsuroris. Here it would be the animal itself is not directly what killed him. It's an indirect thing. It caused the wall to fall down, and that fell on the person. And so Rashi explains, now koifer only applies only by negicha, only by the animal goring, which would be the actual goof of the animal. So in that case, here it's only tsuris, it should be potter. A different explanation that somebody shown him say is maybe the Gemara is saying that he should the Or Sameach talks about and says that maybe at least the question would be that maybe he should be chayiv only in chatzi koifer, the same way as you pay chatzi nezek for tsuris, maybe over here he should be paying only chatzi koifer. The Chazon Ish actually explains, now we did learn in the second parak, we learned that Sumchus holds that for Tzuroris you pay Nezek Sholem, but fine, even Sumchus would agree that that's only as far as Nezek, but not as far as Koifer. So then in that case, it's Tzuroris. Why is he Chayiv in Koifer? And the answer is, Amar Amari, Breder of Kahana, de Ka'ozo Mine. We're talking about where the animal kept on pushing the stones of the wall, and then until it actually knocked it down on him, so therefore it's considered like he killed him Begufoi. That's how Rashi explains. So fine, it still didn't intend to kill, otherwise it would be Chayiv Misa, but nevertheless, we still can't say that it knocked off the stone and then the stone went falling on its own. Rather, we're talking about the here that actually pushed the stone until it landed on the person. That's how Rashi learns. And Mukha Yosef on the Rif explains differently and says that what it means is that the shur leaned against the wall, and then the wall fell down with the shur on top of it. So ultimately, what killed the person, not just the stones of the wall falling, but also the extra weight of the shirt on top of that. So now it killed directly with its kuf. So therefore, yes, we can be mechayev koifer for that, according to Shmuel. Okay, the Gemara points out, Tanya kavasei de Shmuel etziuv de Rav. Now we actually have a braisa that agrees with Shmuel, and this braisa contradicts Rav. Because a braisa says, yes, chayev misa of koifer. There are cases where the animal is chayev misa, and the owner of the animal is chayev koifer. The yesh chayev koifer or potter misa. You can have a case where the owner is chayev to pay koifer, but the animal is potter from misa. The yesh chayev misa or potter from koifer. You can have where he's chayev in where he's chayev misa but potter from koifer. The yesh potter misa was there, and then you have cases where it's potter from both. Parketzan. How are these various cases? Moored b'kavona, if the animal was moored and it killed with intention to kill, chayiv misa over koifer. That's the classic example where the animal is chayiv misa and the owner is chayiv in koifer. Moored shaloi b'kavona, if it was moored and killed shaloi b'kavona, chayiv b'koifer, potter b'misa, then the owner would be chayiv koifer, he'd be potter from misa, which agrees with what Shmuel said and also in turn with what Rabbi Yochanan said before. Tam b'kavona, if it was a tam and it killed b'kavona, chayiv misa or potter b'koifer, then the shur is chayiv misa because that you have even by a tam, but potter from koifer because you don't have koifer until it becomes a mord. Tam shalei b'kavona, potter mizeh or mizeh, and if it was tam and it was shalei b'kavona, then it's potter from both. So we see clearly that the braisa is saying that if it was moored shaloi b'kavona, you're still chayiv in koifer. That is exactly what Shmuel is saying. That is the opposite of what Rav is saying. Therefore, this braisa contradicts Rav. Now, by the way, you do have a few places in Shas where it points out, where it says Rav Tana Hu Polig, that Rav is a Tana and he's able to argue with Braises, but nevertheless, the Gemara doesn't use that answer over here. So therefore, that's it. We've slogged up Rav. Maybe also it has to do with the fact we did say before that Shmuel is agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan. We also have a rule that when there's machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha is generally like Rabbi Yochanan. So that would be another, besides which also we say in Dinim Mominus, the halacha is like Shmuel over Rav. So maybe for all those reasons, the Gemara just didn't bother to go further with it and to say that Rav could find for himself. That's it. We've slogged him up. Okay. The Braisa continues, Vahani Zokin. Now, on the other hand, what happens if the animal caused nezek shaloi b'kavon? So then, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, Rabbi Shimon poter. Then Rabbi Yehuda is mechayev. Obviously, there's no koifer in that case because we're only talking about hezek. So Rabbi Yehuda would make the owner of the shur chayev to pay for the nezokin. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon would say he's poter. So my time in the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the shur, that you chayev for the nezokin of the shur, even if the animal didn't intend to cause damage? He says yalef mikoifer, because he's learning by mamatzinu from the koifer. Ma koifer shaloi b'kavon chayev, just like as the Braisa just said, koifer you chayev even if the animal did not intend to kill. Afan nezokin nami shaloi b'kavon chayev. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the same way. The nezek he's going to be chayev. He's going to be chayev either way. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Yalef Miktole, the shur of Reb Shimon learns it from the case where the shur is killed. Mak Tole Shalay B'Kavana Potter, just like the animal is Potter from being given skila if it didn't intend to kill. Afne Zokin Shalay B'Kavana Potter, the same way Reb Shimon says, the same way you're going to be Potter when the Nezokin was done Shalay B'Kavana. Well, the question is, Reb Yehuda Nami Nelef Miktole. So why does Reb Yehuda not learn from killing the animal the way Reb Shimon does? And the answer is don in tashlumen tashlumen ven don in tashlumen mimisa, because Rabbi Yehuda figures you should learn a case of paying from a case of paying. Both nezokin and koifer are payments of money, so it's more logical to learn one from the other. And wherever one applies, then the other one is going to apply. They don in tashlumen mimisa rather than to learn tashlumen from misa, which is a whole different thing. So Rabbi Shimon nami nelef mikoifer. What about wasn't Rabbi Shimon learn from koifer like Rabbi Yehuda does? And the answer is don in chiyuvah d'shur mechiyuvah d'shur. Because he takes the view, more logically, to learn something that applies to the shur itself, namely that when you're paying for the nezek of the shur, it was caused by the shur itself causing damage, and therefore you the owner are paying for that. Mechiyuvei d'shur, and learn that from the misa of the shur, which is also something that applies directly to the shur itself. La puki koifer chiyuvei debailim hu, as opposed to koifer, which is really obviously the koifer is triggered by the shur killing, but nevertheless the koifer is fundamentally a payment as a kapara for the owner, as we've learned before, and therefore it's more like therefore Reb Shimon says you can't really learn payment of nezokin from the koifer. More logically, you're going to learn it from something that happens to the skila that happens to the animal itself. In effect, the idea is when Rashi uses the expression koifa chiyuvah debailam kaporas nafshoi. In other words, the point is it's kapora for the fact that he himself was careless. So therefore, Reb Shimon says you can't really learn a monetary payment from that. Rabbi Hananel points out that there's different opinions among the Gaonim and among the Rishonim who the halacha should be like. Usually, when you have a machlokas, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, the halacha is usually like Reb Yehuda. On the other hand, there is a Gemara elsewhere and in Eruvin that says the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, but Eruv, implying that the halacha is only like him in matters of Eruvin, not in other areas, and therefore here the halacha should be like Reb Shimon. Most Rishonim do paskim like Reb Yehuda over here, and that is how it's brought in the Rambam. That Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about it because the concept of koifer doesn't apply nowadays. For that, you need a base in smuchin. But when Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you chayev in nezokin, koifer is something else. Nezokin we're talking about over here. Now, nowadays that we don't have a based in smuchin, in principle, nizokin should apply because nizokin is not really a matter of knas; it's a matter of mamon. However, elsewhere the Gemara explains that when we don't have a base in smuchin, bate dinim that don't have smicha are considered empowered by the bate dinim that do to judge cases, but only the more common kind of cases. So, for example, gzelas v'chavolas, where one person steals money or a person injures somebody else, those are common kinds of things. So, bate dinim even nowadays can deal with such things. But for example, a shur, goring and injuring or killing a person is much less common. And therefore, bate dinim nowadays don't really have the authority to paskin in such cases. The most they can do is they can put the person in chayrim, or they can do other kinds of sanctions against him to get him to agree to pay, but they don't have the ability necessarily to actually take the money away from him. So that's why these dinim are brought primarily in the Rambam, not so much in Shulchan Aruch, but yes, he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, as is the usual rule that when you have a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. The Mishnah continued, Niskavin Largus a behema vahoragus adam cholapotter. We had several cases where the animal intended to kill a behema and kill the person, where it intended to kill a goy and kill the yid, etc. We said in all those cases, the animal is potter from misa. Now, the implication is, Honiskavin Largus zeva horagus echayim. The implication would seem to be that if the animal meant to kill one person, so it was chasing after one person, and instead it ended up killing a different person, then we're saying the implication is that the animal would be chayiv skila. In which case, masnissin below Reb Shimon. In which case, it comes out that our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. D'tanya, Reb Shimon emar for the niskaven la'ar gazeva har gazev poter. Reb Shimon says that even if the animal intended to kill one person and killed a different one, it would also be poter from misa. So my time of the Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon say that? So to Amakra, because the Pasuk says that Hashur Yisoko Vagamba all of Yumas. In connection with an animal, when it's moored, it says the Shur is given skila, and also the animal, also the owner is put to death. Now, we know it doesn't mean the owner is actually put to death. Instead, he pays koifer. We said the simple meaning of it is he should be chayev misa b'dei shamayim, and instead the Torah tells him to pay koifer. But nevertheless, Reb Shimon says, we do darshin from the fact that says v'gamba all of Yumas. We learn k'misas bailim kach misas asher. The same rules that apply to the misa of the owner, if the owner was going to be chayav misa in a different case, the same rules have to apply to asher. Meaning ma bailim ad mikavin lay afsher nami ad mikavin lay. So the same way as the owner is only going to be chayav misa if he intends, if he kills the person that he intended to kill, which is Reb Shimon's shit, as we're going to learn in a second, then so Reb Shimon holds the same way. We learn from this hekesh between the person and the shur that yes, the same thing applies to a shur, only if the shur intended to kill the particular person that it actually killed, would it be chayiv mis. Well, a bailum gufayu minalon, where by the owner themselves, by a person themselves who kills somebody, where is Reb Shimon getting that from? That if he intended to kill one person and killed a different person, then he'd be potter. So da'amakra, because the pasuk says, orav loy become olav. The pasuk described by Retzeach, where he lies in wait for him and rises up against him and kills him. So the words for orav loy imply an adshi is scaven, only if he has in mind to kill this actual person. Adshi is scaven loy, unless he intends to kill that actual person. So Reb Shimon says that therefore a person is chayiv misa only when he intended to kill the one that he actually ended up killing. So now Reb Shimon learns from that, by the same token, the same exact thing is going to apply to the shur, only if the shur intended to kill the person, the actual person that it killed. So not even the cases of our Mishnah where it intended to kill an animal and kill the person instead, even if it meant to kill a person, but it ended up killing a different person. Reb Shimon is learning from this hekesh between the owner and the shur. That Reb Shimon is learning from that hekesh that the same rule applies to that the same rule applies and the same way as the owner was not chayav misa, the same way neither is the shur going to be chayav misa. So the Gemara asks, "Rabbanan hai v'orav loy mai avdilei." Well, what are the Chachamim doing with the Chachamim who disagree with Reb Shimon and say that a person would be chayiv misa in such a case? So what are they learning from that? So what are they learning from those words v'orav loy? So Ami dvei Rabbi Yane prak lezordik even legoy. they use it to exclude the case where a person, for example, throws a rock into a crowd of people. The word legoy over here is not goy as in goy as opposed to yid, but really go, really gimel vav. We Ashkenazim pronounce a cholam as if it has a yud at the end, properly speaking. It's not so, but whatever. The point is, the word over here is gimel vav, which means a crowd. Literally, it means inside. So he throws a rock into a crowd of mixed people, of Jews and goyim, and a Jew gets killed by the rock. Then the Chachamim say he wouldn't be chayiv misa over there because we don't know which one he intended to kill. So it's one thing. The Chachamim say, if we know he intended to kill Reuven and instead he killed Shimon, the Chachamim say he would be chayiv misa. But when it comes to throwing a rock into the crowd where we don't know which one he intended to kill, b'chlal, then the Chachamim would say, or we don't even know, he may have intended to kill a goy that was there in the crowd. Then we would say he's potter from misa. That they learned from the words v'oravloi. By the way, in Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah over here, it refers to, so the Rambam brings this, the Rambam brings these halachas in Hilchas Ritzeach. He brings that a person is potter from Misa, even if he intended to kill one person and killed the other, he'd be potter from Misa Spastin, which would be like Reb Shimon. And then he continues with the Zodik Evan Legoy, which is what the Chachamim are saying over here. So the Kesed Mishnah deals with that and says that, in fact, the Ravid asks on that. The Ravid says, what are you passing like Reb Shimon for? The halacha ought to be like the halacha ought to be like the Chachamim. So the Kesef Mishnah answers, actually the Chachamim would agree that he's potter. They would just say for a different reason, which is not really in the sugya over here. In other words, he's saying I'm skaven lara gazeva hara gazeva potter. He's using Reb Shimon's wording, but he's following the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim would agree with the din. They would just say on different grounds. Anyway. So the Gemara says, "Hechi dami." Well, what's the scenario exactly where we're talking about where a person would be potter throwing a rock into a crowd like that? Ilema de'ikatisha knanim ve'echad Yisrael b'nehem. Are you talking about there are nine goyim and one Jew among them? And here also you have that same kind of marginal note from the censors that we're talking about when goyish law wouldn't be machayiv a person for such a thing. Nowadays that goyish law does, then that might be different. But anyway. So if you're talking about where there are nine goyim and one Jew, then of course he's not chayiv misa. Typically, the rabbi knanim, you know, the fact is most of them are goyim, and he's not chayiv misa for killing a goy. So therefore, so even if the yid did get killed, then it would mean that he meant to kill a goy, and instead he killed the yid, and then he'd be potter from misa. Inami paugo pauga. Are you talking about where it's exactly half of the crowd are Jews and half of them are goyim? Still, suffik nefashis lahako. Still, so if you're going to say it's half, then fine. Suffik nefashis lahako. You don't know which one of them he intended to kill, and you have a suffik. Therefore, you have to be mekel. You have Rashi points out. You always have the concept that says that Beistin is responsible to try to find any reason possible to exonerate a person from chiyuv misa. So therefore they're going to be responsible to try to find, because there's only a suffix, then they have to pater him. So what's the scenario? So the answer is loitzricha. The chiddush would be the reason the pasuk is needed. You have the crowd consists of nine Jews and one goy, and afgab derubi Yisraelim ninu. Most of the people there are Jews, and now he threw a rock, and one of the Jews got killed. Nevertheless, kiven deika chodek knani benayu. Since you have one goy among them, have a like kavua. Then now it's considered kavua. That goy is considered fixed in position among them because they're all in the same place. Therefore, we have to consider it, even though statistically it's a 90% chance that he's going to hit a yid. Nevertheless, as far as halacha is concerned, we consider it as though it's half and half. And therefore, with suffik nefashis lahako, so we're back to suffik nefashis, and therefore we have to be mekel, and therefore we can't execute the person on that basis. And in fact, Rashi says, this is where we learn from, b'chol atar d'kola. We have the concept of kol kavur, k'mechza al-mechza dami. We learn it from here. Now again, this is on the face of it. This is only according to Reb Shimon. So Tosfos points out that this particular detail of mechza, k'mechza al-mechza dami, that part would be even according to the Chachamim. Reb Shimon would say that even if he actually says that even if they're all Jews over there, unless he specifically said I'm intending to kill Pliny, then Reb Shimon would hold he wouldn't be chayiv misa. And the Kesef Mishnah again explains something similar in the Rambam, that the Rambam would say something similar as well, even if it was a crowd of all Jews, because meskaven l'arug zeva harug zeh poter, he would hold even according to the Chachamim. Tosfos also points out over here, you have a machlokas in a few places in Shas, Asura Safek, where you give a person Asura and you're not sure whether what he's going to be doing is going to constitute something that would make him chayev or not, then is that considered a Hasura? Well, if we said over here, Hasura Safek, Lo Shema Hasura, then there's no question he can't be chayev, because when he throws the rock, we have no way of knowing in advance which one of them it's going to hit. So here we're saying, even if it is, the whole sugya that we're talking about over here is according to the opinion that Hasura Safek Shema Hasura, it is a valid Hasura, but nevertheless, we don't know which one it's going to hit, and therefore it can't be considered a valid Hasura. Therefore, we're saying, again, when you have one Goy among them, and that's considered Kavua, then Kemechza Al Mechza Domi, and therefore he'd be Potter, and according to Reb Shimon, even if the entire crowd was Jews. Okay, anyway, the point is now our Mishnah, which says again that when a shur intended to kill one person, or our Mishnah implies that if a shur intended to kill one person and killed a different one, then the shur would be chayav misa, Reb Shimon would not hold that way, because Reb Shimon, once he holds that way by people, he would derive from that to the animal as well, based on the hekesh between the person and the animal, and the Chachamim disagree with that. Okay. Mishnah says, Shur ha'isha, when you have a shur that belongs to a woman, the shur ha'yisoymim, or it belongs to yisoymim, and they don't have an apotropos, or shur apotropos, or when it is under the supervision of an apotropos, who's responsible for the assets of the yisoymim, shur ha'midbar, or shur that's in the desert, meaning in other words, it's hefker. Shur ha-hektish, or if it belongs to hektish, shur ha-ger shemes ve'em ha-yoshin, or a shur that belonged to a ger who died without any yoshim, because as we know, a regular yid dies, he's always going to have yoshim, but by a ger you don't have that. So in all those cases, harei l'chayav and misa, nevertheless the animal is still chayav misa, even though we shouldn't think, because the animal doesn't have an owner, or it belongs to yisoymim or whatever, maybe it should be potter. No, it's all, they're all going to be chayiv misa, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Shur ha-midbar, shur ha-hektish, shur ha-ger shemes. The last few cases where it's in the midbar and therefore it's hefker, or it belongs to hektish, or it belongs to a ger who has no yoshim, turin min ha-misa. Rabbi Yehuda says all of those a potter from Misa, Lafisha ain't Lahem Bailim, because they have no owner, and you can't be, and Rabbi Yehuda learns that you can't be Machai of them unless they have an owner. As we're going to see in the Gemara, the Gemara is going to point out, you have several Ribuyim in the Psukim from which you learn that these kinds of animals are Chai of Misa, but Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't agree that all of those are coming to include all the cases that we have in the Mishnah. He holds, as we'll see as we go into the Gemara and we see about the various cases, about what we learn from them, that we're going to talk about why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold it applies to all of them. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, shur shiva. Seven times in the Psukim, in connection where shur kills an animal, it's seven times in the Psukim, it says the word shur. So therefore, we learn from that like this. So one of them is legufoy. One of them is just to tell us the basic fact that we're talking about a shur that kills and the consequences of it. The other six are all extra. So therefore, we can darshan them to include the ones that we said in our Mishnah. Lahavi shura isha shura isem shura apotropos shura midbar shura hektish shura ger shemesva in layoshin. So we can include those six because we see that because we have six extra times in the pasuk where it says the word shur. That's according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda omer shura midbar shura hektish shura ger shemesva in layoshin peturim namisa lafisha in lahem bayim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says the last few of our Mishnah, they don't have owners, therefore you can't be mechayev the misa. Now, what does he do with those? What does he do with these extra words in the pasuk? So the Torah Chaim explains that he would actually say that kind of, we go back and forth between a ribui and a miut. We would say the first one is a ribui, the second one is another ribui, and ein ribui achon ribui elolamayet, and we'd go back and forth like that, and therefore we'd end up saying that, that we're only being marba some of them, and since when once we're only being marba some of them, then we're going to say that logically we're only going to include the ones that have an owner and leave out the ones that don't have an owner. That's how Rabbi Yehuda is going to learn. So that's why he says that only four of them. That's why he says that only three of the six that in our Mishnah are chayev. The Toras Chaim explains he's basically going back and forth as far as between ribui and miut, essentially, because he's saying ein ribui achar ribui elolamai, and therefore each one you have a ribui, and then the next one you have a miut, and therefore you go back and forth, and therefore you're going to be mamayet some of them. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Amar of Huna, rather. Rav Huna says, when Rav Yehuda says that the animal is potter from Misa, when it was a shor hamidbar, or shor whatever, he would say that would apply even if it had an owner at the time when it gored, and then afterwards he was mafkish it. Mimai, how do we know that? Mitkotoni, Tauti, Shura Midbar, Shura Gersh Mesva in La Yoshin. Because since the Mishnah mentions two points, it mentions the Mishnah and the Braisa mentioned separately Shura Midbar and Shura Gersh Mesva in La Yoshin. So it mentions separately where the Shur is in the Midbar, or where it belonged to a Ger who died without any Yoshin. Now, when a ger dies without yoshin, by definition, that's the same thing. All his property is hefker, and any goy can take it, any yid can take it because he doesn't have any yidden to inherit him. So therefore, they're the same thing. So why repeat it? The Gemara says, what is the shor of a ger that died? Since he has no yoshim, then it becomes hefker. So aren't they the same thing? Why would we need an extra limud in the pasuk for each one of them? And why would the Mishnah and the Braisa be listing them separately? Elo lav hokabash malon. Evidently, that must be what it's trying to tell us. That filu nagachol v'seif hikdish, nagachol v'seif hikdish, even if it gored, and only then he made it hekdish, or he gored, and only then he made it hefker. So in other words, the case of the ger shemesve in the yoshim would be, when it gored, it still belonged to the ger. After that, before it went to Beis Din, the ger died. Now we're saying, Reb Shimon is saying, Reb Yehuda rather is saying, that the shor is potter from skillah. Shmamina, so that proves that that's how it must be. Because otherwise there would be no reason to list hefker and ger separately. And the Gemara says Tanya Nami Yochi. In fact, we learn like that in a Braisa. Yes, sir. Okay, in Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says even beyond that. Afilu nogachol v'seif hiftish nogachol v'seif hifkir potter shenema v'huad b'v'olah behemis v'gomer. The pasuk says they should testify and they warn against the owner, and then the animal still kills, then it's chayiv misa. So adjete misa v'hamoda b'din shoven ka'echad. So it means the misa that it killed the person and that it was brought to Beis Din also both have to be under the same ownership. So therefore, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that afterwards he was makdish it, or in the case of a ger, he died and left it ownerless, then therefore it would be potter. So Gemara asks, so you're telling me then Rabbi Yehuda says that it's enough that the Misa and the Hamada Badin took place under the same ownership, but if it was brought to Beis Din, then already, and it's still under the same ownership, and before they had a chance to give it skila, it already goes to different ownership. Rabbi Yehuda would say that it would be chayev. V'hashur yisakul, Gemara dinhu. The pasuk continues, the shur is given skila, which means Gemara din. So Ella Ema Ajtem Misa Vahamada Badin Ugmaudin Shavan Kachon. Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be that all three, the Mista that killed the person and that it was brought to Beis Din and the Gmaudin, all took place under the same ownership. Only then would Rabbi Yehuda be Machayev at Misa. So therefore, when it became Hekdish in between, even if it was after it gored, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda would still say that it's Potter from Misa, and he would say again that the extra shows were not Darshaning for that, or rather that, as the Toras Chaim says, that we're Darshaning a Miut from each one of them. As far as, by the way, why the Mishnah had to mention Shod Ha'isha separately, why we think a woman is different than a man in that regard, Tosfos says because the fact is, we said before that we have there's a comparison that the shod is chayev misa if it killed, and it's also the owner is chayev in paying for the nizokin if it injured. Now by nizokin, the expression in the pasuk is tiyach shod ish. So therefore, you would think maybe at least nizokin doesn't apply to a woman, and therefore you'd think maybe misa doesn't either, and therefore the Mishnah needs to stress that it does. The Meiri gives a couple of other answers. Maybe a woman is not so knowledgeable in how to take care of a shur. Maybe you should say that should be potter from misa, or maybe we're talking about even a married woman, and therefore it should be her husband's responsibility. Nevertheless, we don't say anything of the above. We don't say anything of the above, and we still say that it's chayav misa regardless, even though its owner is a woman. The Gilyan Ashas over here, Rabbi Akiva Eger, refers to an interesting tshuva by the Rashba that talks about. He brings a. So somebody asked him. Now you have a posuk in Parshas Noach when Hashem is telling Noach about Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, and he tells him you have a case miyad kochaya ed reshen. You have a case where an animal kills a person, and Hashem says, "I will demand that animal be punished." That's where we get the concept of skila of an animal that kills a person. But the Ramban says over there that after all, we see from our Mishnah and our Gemara that even for example, the animal, even if it was hefker, it's still chayav misa. So we see it's not just a punishment for the owner; it's a punishment for the answer. It's a punishment for the animal itself. So then somebody asked the Rashba. Here we have Rabbi Yehuda saying differently, and shouldn't the halacha usually be like Rabbi Yehuda? You have a stam Mishnah, which is according to the mayor, and then you have Rabbi Yehuda arguing. Usually the halacha ought to be like Rabbi Yehuda. So he goes on to explain, and he says that in this case, then nevertheless, he says that first of all, the Ramban is not necessarily talking about the Ramban is not necessarily passing halacha. The Ramban is bringing an explanation of the pasuk. Doesn't necessarily mean that it has to follow the actual halacha. Nonetheless, the Rashba goes on to say it is true that usually when we have a machlokas of Yehuda and Rav Meir, usually the halacha is like Yehuda. On the other hand, here the fact is we do have a stam mishnah and the halacha would in fact be the halacha. In fact, he goes on to say would in fact be like Rav Meir. So therefore, regardless whether the animal was hefker or what have you, nevertheless, it's still chayav misa. So that's how it is. And so the animals chayav misa either way. And sometimes it is a penalty for the owner, but again, we're saying even when there's no owner, nevertheless, that still has to be done.